Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
When you post hunting photos on Instagram, they get censored. When you post on Go Wild, you get virtual fist bumps from fellow hunters. When you buy gear on Amazon, you gas up a billionaire's spaceship. When you buy gear on Go Wild, we donate to a camp that teaches kids to hunt, fish, and shoot. See the difference? Go Wild is a free social community built by hunters for hunters. Join today at downloadgowild.com, and I'll give you $10 just for setting up your account. And you'll keep unlocking Go Wild rewards as you share content, because guess what? We like hunting pictures. Join at downloadgowild.com or in the App Store.
This is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Vortex Optics. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the old Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I don't like to take notes before a podcast, before I record. I don't like to... I've tried it in the past, and the reason that I don't do it is because I always try to force myself down a certain path. When I feel like when I'm doing these interviews, the path should present itself, and that's the best route to go on. And I'm going to tell you that this episode is a really good episode. I'm talking with Josh Raley, of the Wisconsin Sportsman podcast here on the Sportsman's Nation. And like I mentioned, I'm going to be cycling through all of these guys, in the next couple months. So you guys get a better idea of the content that they're putting out and who they are and what drives them. But this is a really good episode, man. And we don't really talk about, hunting strategy a lot. We recap Josh's season, and then we kind of get into a conversation of ethical hunting. We talk about staying positive. We talk a little bit about how the hunting community is almost like enemies with each other, when we really need to unite under one umbrella and just stay positive. And so we talk about staying positive. We talk about the hunting community. We talk about ethical hunting and shot placement specifically. Just a really good podcast, really good conversation that may spark some interest or make you think a little bit about, why is something ethical? Why is something considered not ethical? Why are people judgmental? Why are some people supportive? I don't know. But that's the kind of information we talk about in this episode today. So I'm pretty excited for you guys to listen to this one. We're going to do a quick commercial segment here. Once again, I'm going to run through these fairly quickly, and then I'll start, after the new year, I'm going to start breaking these companies down again, providing you with updates of what's going on. But Hunt Stand, if you're looking for a mobile app, look no further than Hunt Stand. Hunt Stand has the most robust features of any hunting app. It's the most affordable, it's the most popular, and the satellite imagery is updated on a monthly basis. Not a lot of companies are doing that. And then on top of that, it just has everything you need from a mobile app, and it gives you the ability to basically journal your hunting adventures. And oh, here's a scrape, here's a rub, here's my tree stand, here's my trail camera, all that kind of stuff. So huntstand.com, go check it out. Discount code for 20%, SN20. More information coming on Lone Wolf in a little bit. There's been some changes there. I will make sure you guys are informed as soon as I am informed. Wasp broadheads. I don't know. Every time I think of Wasp broadheads, I think of the Metallica song "Seek and Destroy." It's just real heavy, you know. Anyway, I think of Wasp broadheads because they destroy everything that they hit. If you want a discount code for 20%, the discount code is 9. The number 9 followed by the word fingers 2021. Get those. Ozonix. Dude, just go to ozonixhunting.com. Check out the lineup of all the units that they have. They have, a whole bunch of different price points. What you should do is see what price point fits you and see if that unit will do what you want it to do as far as creating O3, ozone, and the answer is yes, it will. So I can only sit here and talk to you guys so much about Ozonix and ozone. At some point, you either have to take the leap and get one, or you have to borrow one from a friend, or you have to go to their website and do your own research. So go check out Ozonix. And if you do purchase a unit, enter the discount code NFC21, and you're going to get a free dry wash bag with the purchase of any unit. Vortex Optics, vortexoptics.com. Great company, great people, great products, VIP warranty. You break it, smash it, burn it, a bear eats it and shits it out, you send it back, they will fix it or replace it for free. Not a lot of companies do that. So not only do these guys talk the talk, but they walk the walk. And I can tell you from being a Vortex Optics owner for a very long period of time, I can beat the shit out of my equipment before I actually have to send it in to get fixed. But knowing that, I don't baby my equipment. I use it how it's intended to be used. I'm hard on it, and I just know that, hey, if I break it, I can send it in and they'll fix it. ExodusOutdoorGear.com, Exodus Trail Cameras. Why do I like Exodus Trail Cameras? Because when I turn them on and walk away from them, I am confident that they work. And I don't know how many times in the past before I started using Exodus, I would always be second guessing myself. Man, I hope they take pictures. And then I would go there, and it wasn't user error that, you know, some of these cameras weren't working. And that's why when I made the jump to Exodus, everything just started clicking. I was confident, and that's why I use them. ExodusOutdoorGear.com. And then lastly, if you are looking for a crossbow for yourself or for a new hunter or for a child, you got to check out ExcaliburCrossbow.com, Excalibur Crossbows, and take a look at all the SKUs that these guys offer. They have a crossbow for everybody. They're not over-engineered. They're a 30-year-old company with a great reputation, kind of a cornerstone in the archery market, and man, just a really good company with really good people who work for them. And so check out Excalibur Crossbows and their new crossbow, the Twin Strike. It holds two arrows. It's crazy. Go check it out. That's it. Now let's get into today's episode with Josh, the Wisconsin Sportsman. 3, 2, 1. All right, on the phone with me today, Mr. Josh Raley. Josh, how are we doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Dan. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. Hey, for those of you who don't know, I was looking at the analytics from the Sportsman's Nation Network this week, and Wisconsin, out of all the states, is the state that downloads the Sportsman's Nation the most. And Josh here is the host of the Wisconsin Sportsman podcast, and he's completely dominating right now, which is awesome, and it's good to hear. And it's on the Sportsman's Nation podcast network with all of the other ones that you know, that are floating around out there. So, Josh, man, I guess first off, badass podcast, I love it.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a blast. I appreciate you letting me come on and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about this in a previous episode that I did with another guy from the network, Parker McDonald. But let me ask you this question straight up. What's one of your favorite parts about having an outdoor podcast?
Oh, man. Gosh, I wish I would have gotten to hear Parker's answer. I'm curious to know that. But I think my favorite part is the people that it's letting me talk to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's given me opportunities to reach out to guys that I ordinarily wouldn't, give me the opportunity to expand my circle quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm just being honest, it gives my wife a little bit more motivation to let me get outside a little more often.
Yeah.
So, So she's like, hey, you know, I know you need to be out doing stuff. So sure, you can go out hunting or fishing or whatever today. So,
yeah,
but I think those two things, the people and the opportunity to get out.
Yeah. I'll tell you this right now. One thing about being a content provider or a creator or whatever you call what we're doing here, is the fact that in order to stay relevant and in order to, talk about the outdoors, you have to experience the outdoors. And so going out and doing all of the things like what your wife said, it's actually not only it's great that she says that, but then I can also use that as an excuse for my wife, who's like, hey, listen, I haven't been outside at all this week. Like, I've just been working. I need to go and walk through the woods and do some scouting or check trail cameras or do something to get me, you know, back in the swing of things.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I try to get out at least a few times a week. And if I don't, I get a little grumpy. So
yeah, that's a fact. All right. So let's touch base here a second. How'd your season go this year?
You know, it was a really good season. This is my second deer season in Wisconsin. And so the learning curve has been pretty steep, but, you know, I went out, I think I had 8 hunts total now.
Yeah.
I've seen deer on every hunt. I've had deer in shooting range in every hunt, had encounters with 3 different mature bucks throughout the season. And so, yeah, fantastic season. Wish I had a little more, antler on the wall or a little more meat in the freezer, but, you know, things turned out well.
Yeah. Have you connected on any deer this year at all?
Oh yeah. I shot a smaller 7-point on November 2nd.
Okay.
And then I had a doe that I wounded back in September. Had a fiasco with my face mask, just about ripped my face mask off of me when I let go of the string. And so I have no clue where I hit her.
I gotcha.
Which that turned out poorly. But then on October 16th, I actually arrowed probably 135 plus inch 8-pointer.
Oh, nice.
And was not able to recover him. Yeah, it was. Oh, and ouch. I've gotten pictures of him since. I hit him a little far forward and high.
Okay.
Called out a dog tracker, and we looked for hours. And he said, I'll tell you the truth, I think this deer is still alive. And sure enough, on November 7th, I got a picture of him coming in front of the same tree where I shot him on October 16th.
Yeah.
So he's still out there.
Yeah, man. And we've all been there before, especially losing an animal. And it's good as far as the buck is concerned. He's back on trail camera. He seemed to be doing fine.
Oh yeah. He was on a doe. He was on a doe. So he's up and moving great.
Okay. So, man, that's one thing that I ran into a couple years ago, and it, It kind of threw me off, to be honest with you. I took a 30-yard complete broadside shot at a doe in Iowa. This was a couple years ago. Completely smoked her, like high long shot, right? I mean, it was like if you were to draw a line left to right on a deer that's complete broadside right behind the shoulder and you went up maybe an inch or two, smoked her, arrow went all the way through her on the other side. I watched her climb, you know, jump up the hill and instantly bed down. And I could see the blood coming out of her. And I'm like, and her head kept going and her head kept going and her head kept going down. And then I was sitting there for an hour watching this deer, like not do anything. So she stood up, went over the hill. And then what I'm assuming was, cause she looked wobbly. And then I went over, I got down out of my stand, knocked an arrow and I said, okay, I'm going to try to, she's too weak. I'm going to try to get another arrow in her if she's even still alive. And I went and I followed blood for the next 8 hours and it slowly dissipated and I never found that doe. And it drove me crazy because I absolutely smoked her. Like I look at that shot and I go, if you showed me that shot on film 100 times, in 100 different scenarios, I would say dead deer, dead every time. And I mean, I've hit deer in that same spot and they didn't, you know, they died instantly. I'd watch them die in sight. And so like, it really sucks. Did you have any kind of like blowback, I don't know, mentally after a shot like that, that doesn't kind of go right for you?
Yeah, man. I'll be honest with you. This was a shot that I had not really practiced. The deer came in almost directly underneath me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just real tight, real, real tight. And, that was October 16th and I did not hunt again until November 1st.
Oh, dang.
So I stayed out of the woods. I was pretty discouraged. I wasn't getting pictures of him on trail camera at first. And so I just got out of the woods and I practiced at least once a day, some days two or three times a day, on those tight shot angles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it paid off because I shot the buck that I got on November 2nd. I actually shot him at basically the same exact distance and angle that I'd shot the other one at. So that practice paid off.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Now, you know, shooting a doe, and this sucks to say because a deer life is a deer life. But when you are in the position to shoot a buck, right? You know, we all go out, we all hope we shoot a, you know, a big deer or whatever. And so this buck kind of comes through and you put a bad shot on it. That was a, you know, and some of the things we can control, some of the things are learning experiences. What happened with your face mask there?
Yeah. So, I was getting out of the car and I realized I forgot my face paint. So early season, I like to wear face paint, just like to try to break it up a little bit.
Yep.
But I grabbed a face mask that I've never practiced with before. Never shot with it or anything like that. So I just grabbed the face mask that was in my car. That was actually a turkey face mask that I used. So climb up in the stand, doe comes out, going to get a perfect shot. And as I draw back, I feel this catch and it kind of turns my field just with the holes where I can see out of. So I'm trying to work through that and get that, you know, kind of separated a little bit from my string. And as soon as I can see clearly and see the peep and, you know, I think I've got it and I release, I guess my kisser button had gotten kind of snugged up or tangled up with the mask itself. And so when I released, it just grabbed that mask really, really hard. You know, caused my arrow to miss the mark. So
yeah, and so it just went real forward. Like whereabouts in the body did you shoot this buck?
Oh, you mean for the buck? So the face mask was on the doe. So
oh,
the buck actually,
okay. My bad.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. So the face mask was on a doe that I shot, and I have no clue where I hit her.
I gotcha.
And for the buck, when he came out, I mean, I could have swore I smoked him perfect. I mean, it was one of those shots that I, you know, he didn't act super hurt or fall over within sight. And so I called a dog pretty quickly. And I didn't have a lot of blood, but I mean, I would have told you, you know, 10 times out of 10 that that was going to be a dead deer.
Yeah.
But he just came in real quick. It was the opener of pheasant season. And so I was hunting just off of where some of the pheasant hunters were going to be and what I knew was some of the best bedding just outside of where they would be. And worked like a charm. They kicked him up. He came right underneath me. And he was moving quick. I was shook up. And I just released thinking, thinking this was going to be a quick shot kind of deal. And it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But not too far forward. And in my estimation, then looking at the trail cam photos now, I was probably 2 or 3 inches in front of the shoulder.
Oh, and then in that, what do they call that? The no man's zone or the dead zone or whatever.
Yep. Basically.
Yeah. A lot of just like connective tissue and muscle and all like nothing vital.
Nothing vital and no blood. It was the craziest thing. Yeah. There was no blood at impact. There was no blood on the trail. I mean, well, we ended up finding a little spot of blood, but not much.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. I'll tell you this. I've been hunting for a long time, I feel like now. And hitting a deer and having this overwhelming confidence that you smoked it or, you know, and then all of a sudden you get down out of your tree and there's no blood. I think it was like the buck that I shot in 2009. Double lung, smoked him. But he was stretched out forward. His front legs were forward when I shot him, like in that big, like in the long part of his stride. I stopped him, smoked him, but then all the fur and fat came back over the wound, right? So there was no blood. Like there was no blood at all. And so he ran and we had to I was up there looking around, couldn't find him. So we said, all right, let's stop. Went back in the next morning and eventually found him, but he was 500 yards on a double lung shot. There was no blood. So we found him when we were grid searching. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah. And luckily we ran into him and, you know, after you got him and you're just like, dude, how did he go this far is what I want to know.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you know, I've had shots that are just completely the opposite where I just nick a lung or I nick something. Or nick just the liver, or I several years ago I hit a deer where it was like I hit him back, pretty far back. I hit a little bit of liver and stomach, and I found they literally went 70 yards, fell over dead. So it's crazy how that works.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I watch a lot of hunting content on YouTube and stuff, and I see some of these shots that folks make, and I'm like, man, they're gonna lose that deer.
Yeah.
And the thing piles up in 20 yards.
Right.
And it's like, how does that even work?
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh well, it is what it is. You just got to keep going, and you try to, you know, without however many years of experience, you just always got to go, go with your gut a little bit on that, and like for me. This is going to, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but I put myself in the killer category where if a deer gives me an opportunity, I'm not going to wait for a better opportunity. Like,
sure.
I'm going to take the shot. I don't know. Where do you fall in something like that?
No, I'm the same way. I'm one of those guys. As soon as I get what I think is a clean and ethical shot, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait around for something, you know, 10 or 20% better. Just because it's like, well, I don't really like that angle. I mean, if I get what I think is a good clean shot, I'm taking it right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel that the term ethical shot is a gray area?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know, for a lot of guys who've practiced at really long ranges or, you know, I see a lot of guys who go out west and what they think is an ethical shot is very different from what I deem an ethical shot here in Wisconsin hunting in tight cover or even growing up in the South hunting in pretty tight cover. But I think it's a super gray area. And I've really liked what I've seen over the last couple of years, that conversation open up a bit from the quartered away, you know, close leg stretched out so that you get that perfect double lung shot. And, you know, guys are starting to say, well, let's think a little bit about a head on shot.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk a bit about, you know, hugging that shoulder a little more and maybe aiming less, you know, center of mass and just trying to get lungs.
Yeah.
I've welcomed that conversation. I think, everybody's got to kind of do what they're comfortable with.
Yeah. Both of my deer that I shot this year were both hard quartering toward shots. The buck I shot in Iowa was 100% in on me. So I put my pin right on the crease of his, in the shoulder. And I guess he would have been a little quartering towards my left side. So I put it right in the crease and, on a head-on shot. Now, I wouldn't take a head-on shot at 40 yards.
Sure.
But at 10 yards, I definitely would. The deer that I shot in South Dakota was hard quartering towards, and I put that arrow, he was hard quartering towards, I'm going to guess somewhere between 25 and 30, and I put that deer, it hit a little back, but I got him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Ethics these days are kind of crazy. So this is what I always think. The fastest way to kill an animal is like to hit its spine or its, and I'm taking shooting. I'm talking about just ending an animal's life, right? Is breaking its spinal cord or hitting them in the head, like a brain shot, and they just shut off, right? The next step would be probably the heart or the lungs to try to, the massive amount of blood loss. So I always think of this, and if let me just ask you this. If you watched a hunting video where a guy shot an animal in the head and it dropped in place and died quickly and without any pain, is that still an ethical shot?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm not saying it's a shot that I would necessarily take, but if he put it down quickly, I would say absolutely.
Yeah. See, that's where it's just like, I don't know. Then I feel like that if you're that confident, it's awesome. But at the same time, you start taking shots like that. Cause I'll be honest, my stepdad is an old school guy, and he was raised in a group of hunters that he's like, dude, I just shoot him in the neck. I'll shoot a deer in the neck and sometimes hits the spine or the jugular or whatever. And it dies real quick. Now me, I would never take a neck shot if that's all, the only thing that was exposed. And I'm never, especially with archery equipment. Now, if I was packing a 12 gauge, right, that might be a different story. But like, I'll never take an archery shot to the head of an animal. But I wonder where that came from is what I want to know. Like, where did the quote unquote ethical shot come from?
Yeah, I'll clarify. When you were saying headshot, I was thinking with a gun of some sort, either a rifle or shotgun. But I think honestly, there's an element where we as hunters feel a little bit of a need to apologize and make what we do a little more palatable to people who don't understand.
That's a good point.
Hunting and taking the life of an animal.
Yeah,
And then I think it's also the personal comfort level, right? Because what we're saying when we say something's ethical is that it's there's an acceptable amount of suffering.
Yeah.
We're saying that was acceptable to us. And not to say animals are sentient quite like we are, but whatever. So I think a lot of this conversation, really comes from, comes from that almost that need to apologize or make what we do easier for those who don't like hunting.
Yeah. Cause if there's one thing that really frustrates me, on YouTube or social media where, I posted a picture of my deer and it was wound forward. And I did that for one reason really. And it was to show, like, I always like to show where I hit the deer and explain that. And so when people, they look at the picture without reading the everything. They look at it and they go, oh, dude, you shot it in the neck. And I was like, well, no, it was head on, shot him in the chest, and he went down. But even then, people are like, man, that's, getting trash talk on that shot, which I guess I just got to ignore. Because instead of congratulating people, I just don't know why we're not more supportive of each other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think social media has brought out a lot of bad things. And one of the negatives of it has been the ethics police.
Yeah.
You know, the people who want to get out there and say, well, you shouldn't have taken that shot, or you shouldn't have shot that buck because of this or that size, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think we really need to lay off of that. There are, you know, and if we want to say, hey, I'm concerned about the optics of that shot, like, there are better ways to have that kind of conversation than to jump on and start bashing somebody's deer, bashing their shot.
Do you think that what would you say that conversation looks like? You know, because there's a broad line of people who are like, dude, I had to wait. I like to wait till they're broadside, and I missed an opportunity because I wanted the best possible shot for me. And then there's other guys, let's say like us, where it's like, head on, take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I think one guiding principle for that conversation, because I think they're all going to look different, but I think the one guiding principle is that it can't be short form communication.
Yeah.
You know, it cannot be comments on a post. It's going to have to be phone calls. It's going to have to be, you know, a video with a panel of people who are going back and forth. It's going to have to cover conversations about what kind of equipment you're shooting. Cause Dan, what's your draw length?
30.
So man, you're pushing a lot of energy. Yeah. So for somebody to tell you that you shouldn't take a quartering to or front on shot, they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to modern archery equipment. Right.
Right. Right.
Like if they say you can't put that arrow through there, they just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there's just a lot that we have to take into consideration. So it's got to be long form, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. And here's the other thing is practice, right? Like I shoot my bow a lot, not during the winter, obviously, but as soon as it warms up in the spring, I'm back at it. And again, and again, and again, and I'm shooting on the regular every week and until about a month or two before the season starts, then it's every day. And so that is where I gain all my confidence. Like if I was that guy who was just picking his bow out of the bow case and just going, all right, well, let's see if she's still sighted in from last year. Like people I know, they will take one or two shots before the season just so they know if the string isn't going to explode on them. And then they'll go back and, you know, they'll start hunting with it. And to me, that's where there's this, I feel like that's an ethical shot because I'm confident in my equipment and I practice. Now, I don't think that's an ethical shot if I didn't practice and I was shooting a 300 grain arrow as opposed to a 520 grain arrow, or I was shooting 25 inch draw length as opposed to 30 inch draw length. Like I know my equipment, I know my capabilities. And because of that, I feel that's an ethical shot for me.
That's right. And that's the other piece there is your own capabilities. And I think, you know, as hunters, we oftentimes we don't want to have the hard conversation that like we are the weak link, you know, given today's technology and equipment, we are the weak link in almost everything that we do. And, you know, when it comes to taking archery shots, we've got to put in the practice. And, you know, I've had years where I'm better at it and years where I'm not as great at it. I think this year, you know, I did put in the time and try to boost that regimen, you know, what that looks like, you know, shooting at different angles and that kind of thing. But, I think that practice piece, can't be overstated.
Yeah, for sure. So let's see here. I mean, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. And the reason I'm picking on you is because you're a preacher, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So you're a preacher, you deal with people, right?
And I do.
You try to spread a message of positivity through your work, a message of love and kindness and the golden rule, treat other people like you would want to be treated type of deal. So let me ask you this. When it comes to what you do for a living as a preacher, and then looking into the hunting space, where obviously all humans are flawed, right? How do we become a better community, a hunting community that that we stop any infighting or having arguments about, you know, whether someone should do this, when in all actuality, we're all under the same umbrella.
Yeah. I think it's got to start with a long look in the mirror, right? Like I'm going to be a lot less likely to try to pick out whatever it is about you that I don't like, if I've come to terms with who I am behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Right. And start to see my own warts for what they are. And then I think just also just showing a little grace to each other, man. I mean, like, things happen, mistakes happen. We're going to disagree. But we have to, much like in the world of the church, we have to understand that as hunters, we have one mission, we have one heritage, we have one vision that we all enjoy. And our goal is to keep that at the forefront and to all pursue that together and, stop letting little petty things get in the way.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of the infighting is going to come from, when we let other priorities take over and begin to distract us from things like conservation, from things like maintaining the lifestyle that we love, from when we allow it to distract us from things like passing our heritage on to the next generation. You know, we let those other things come in, all of a sudden we lose sight, and it's going to cost us if we can't get our act together.
Yeah. Where does, you know, I'm sitting here trying to think of the next question to ask, and I hear that, like, treat others the way you would want to be treated is just this, the golden rule, right? I mean, ever since I can remember, that is what I have been taught, whether it's been through the church or whether it's been through my parents, right? It's just be a good person. And I think, like, for me, being a good person really doesn't need to be explained that well. I mean,
sure.
You just know, like, you should inherently know right from wrong. So my question is, I'll just make a comment first. In the past 5 years, I have really tried to wake up every morning as a positive person. And I think that's translated over to the content that I put out and how I approach the hunting community with a more, you know, it's like, there's people out there who are just like, oh man, yeah, you should have let that one go. He's too young. Or, you know, that was an unethical shot, or you should have done this. That was dumb. And instead I just congratulate everybody and,
yep,
and try to put out the positive energy. So, people feel that, and in hopes that it's contagious, you know what I mean? And then their positive, yep, energy then goes, you know what? I could have wrote a snark comment here, but instead I'm just going to congratulate the guy.
Yep.
How do people do that?
Yeah. So how do we make that shift away from the snarky and into the positive, man? You know, I think that for me as a preacher, there's a theological answer to that, and there's just a human answer to that, right? Like, if I didn't just say, like, outside of relationship and walking with, you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. You're just going to struggle with doing that, and it's going to be much harder. On the other side of that, though, I think it's just coming to terms with your own humanity, and I think it's keeping priorities first. I think it's keeping priorities out front and letting those things be the pursuit. And then I think it's also what you're saying there with, like, man, just do it for a bit and reap the benefits.
Yeah.
Right. So I think you would say that you've been trying to do that and you're reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen the reward. You've seen a difference in the way that you wake up in the morning. You've seen a difference in probably even your success afield.
Yeah.
Because you just have a different mindset. You've got a different mentality. So I think, I think believing when people say, hey, try this out, see if it changes things for you. I think people will start to see some difference there. And it's not going to be easy. I think that's the hard thing. People are like, well, I don't really feel like making that change, or it will feel better for me in the moment to make that snarky comment. It's like, yeah, it may, but you've got to think long term. You've got to think big picture. You've got to quit thinking about what might feel great right here in the now. And, think about 5 years from now, or think about next season and how you want to be as a person.
Yeah.
And how your stupid comment right now might impact that.
Yeah. Not only yourself, but others.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You never know what that person's going through on that particular day. You never know what they're struggling with in life in general.
Yeah.
And so, you take that opportunity to put them down. You may have just lost a hunter.
Yeah, that's a fact. And we don't need to lose any more hunters.
No, absolutely not.
One thing that I man, where was I going to go with that? The efficiency, thought efficiency. Like when I, and this kind of translates into my deer hunting strategy, where I used to be consumed back in the day with what others were doing, right? It's like, well, if this successful hunter's doing this, I need to do that. Well,
yep.
That's not true, right? You shouldn't do what they're doing. You know why? Because you don't hunt their farms. You don't live in the same state as them, blah, 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 blah. And all these other differences, right? As far as strategy. And then once I was able, and this has been several years now, but once I was able to step away from that kind of thought process and comparing myself to others and doing what I felt, I shedded all that. I let all that go. And I went into the woods and I started becoming successful because I was paying attention to what was going on in my farms and the properties that I could hunt. And so I had all this additional time to make, I don't know, thoughts, like cleaner thoughts to my strategy and not thinking about all that other garbage that didn't impact me at all. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I guess it was probably right as I started going down this journey of wanting to host a podcast, right around the time that I first talked to you about it. And, you know, I was watching a lot of YouTube and listening to a ton of podcasts and stuff. And my wife actually said, like, hey, why don't you stop listening to everybody else about this stuff and like just do your thing?
Absolutely.
You know, why don't you quit spending so much energy on consuming what everybody else is doing and worry about what you've got going on? And, you know, that's allowed me to, like I said, you know, I went hunting 8 times this year and had a great season. I mean, by all accounts, I should have had at least one really nice buck on the wall from this season. And it's allowed me to be more efficient. It's allowed me to be more present, you know, where I'm hunting and worry about my tactics and the things that fit what I'm doing at that moment. Rather than, you know, thinking, oh, so-and-so said I need to do this, so I got to go put that into practice. It's like, no, go out to the spot where you hunt and do what the woods give you.
Exactly.
Follow what the sign tells you.
Exactly.
And take it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. Like, now I do that in business, too, where I, you know, for a guy who puts out a podcast and who, you know, manages the network and things like that, I don't listen to any or read a lot of outdoor content. Maybe this is crazy because I feel like it will impact my decision making on what kind of content I create. Therefore, it's not really my content. I'm just recycling something that I've heard somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And in an industry like this or a community like this, things are going to get recycled anyway, but yep. I try to ask different questions and do that kind of stuff. But man, I don't know. I kind of stay away from it and just go in it from the me and my perspective. And that's what, you know, from the woods to the business, man, I feel like that thought process has I don't know, made me a happier person.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I kind of want to know from you, like, you know, I'm just getting into this whole podcast thing, right? And there is that temptation to see, okay, what is everybody else doing? What is everybody else talking about? And there is an element at which we can learn from others who've gone before us in this world, right? So what have you done to kind of maintain that individualism and to say, you know, I'm not going to let Instagram dictate what I do today?
The biggest thing is to not let Instagram dictate what you do today. I mean, that's seriously my answer is you have to be able here. You either have to disconnect altogether or you have to disconnect. Does that make sense? Like you have to either have the strength to look at something or be around something and disconnect your reality from that reality, or you just disconnect altogether. And as much, this is going to sound crazy for someone who relies on social media to run a business. I wish I could disconnect from social media altogether. Like I don't want to be, honestly, I don't want to be on social media anymore. It's just, it's redundant. It's, I don't know. It's just a place where I don't want to I don't want my kids to be on social media, but they see me on social media. So therefore they get interested about it. All their friends are on it. So I disconnect in the way where I understand what is, like you said, what the woods gives me in my scenario. And that is the scenario that I go with. I don't try to imagine another scenario, because that, then you're lying to yourself at that point.
That's right.
If that makes sense. So
yeah,
I do my own thing. And every person I've ever talked to, or every, you know, there's so many motivational speakers out there, or, you know, business gurus out there. And the theme is do your own thing, right? That's where the authenticity comes from. That's where the truth comes from. And when you're able to find that and connect with that, it can be something very special.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you really don't see a lot of imitators being successful.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yep. That's a fact, man. So what's next on the list? Are you done for the year, or are you planning for next year, or what?
Yeah, you know, I've been out doing a good bit of postseason scouting, been looking around, trying to prep some stand sites for next year, you know, hunt out of a saddle. So trying to get into some preset trimming and that kind of thing. It looks like I'll be getting out hopefully for the holiday hunt coming up here. We've got I think it's a week long holiday hunt here in Wisconsin. It's an antlerless only. So maybe try to get a few more deer in the freezer, but you know, outside of that, it's going to be packing up for the year and looking forward to spring and trying to gear up for turkeys and fly fishing.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right. Last question I have before we call our quits today. You got some venison in the freezer right now. What is a recipe that is a go-to or a staple in your household, or you're excited to cook for this upcoming year? Do you have a favorite venison recipe?
Yeah, favorite venison recipe has got to be, my wife takes, you know, thin sliced backstrap, and she'll roll up some blue cheese in it.
Okay.
And then wrap bacon around it and bake that. It's delicious.
Okay. Absolutely. Never heard of that before, but I'm going to try that now.
Oh man, it's good. It's good. Throw them on the grill and it's phenomenal.
Okay. All right. Now you're talking my language, my friend. So Josh, man, really appreciate you taking time out of your day today to hop on the podcast. For those of you who are listening to this from Wisconsin and have yet to give the Wisconsin Sportsman a try, that podcast a try, you got to do it. Tons of great information, very well put together, podcast, iTunes, Spotify, wherever podcasts are downloaded, you can find it there. But it's relatable to the state of Wisconsin. And man, Josh, appreciate everything.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And there you have it. Huge shout out to all the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles: Hunt Stand, Lone Wolf, Wasp, Ozonix, Vortex, Exodus, and Excalibur. Please go out and support the companies that support this podcast. At least go to their website, do some research on their products. Maybe that product is good for you. And then a huge shout out to Josh, man. If you live in Wisconsin, definitely check out his website. Quality production, quality content. You guys are definitely going to love it. And then what else? I think that's it, man. Like I said, I kind of say it all the time, man. It's all about positive energy, man. If you want to be happier, you have to, even sometimes you have to fake it. There's days when I wake up and my kids are annoying as shit and I am just in a pissed off mood. I eat that shit sandwich. I put a smile on my face. I fake it for a little while, and even faking it helps me become more positive. And I don't know. And then that positivity spreads to others. And then guess what? That's a snowball effect. And then other people are going about their day and they're positive. So good vibes in, good vibes out. And we'll talk to you when we talk to you. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.